Chapter 38. The Americas. We, my mother and I, left Sydney in late January 1974, bound for Mexico. Before leaving New Guinea for good, my mother had been invited to take up a faculty position at the Instituto Allende, a private university with a strong art and craft focus, located in San Miguel de Allende, northwest of Mexico City. After accepting the job, my mother, who was well aware of my recent heartbreak, suggested I join her and return to study, this time to earn an undergraduate degree in fine arts. As I'd be offered a full scholarship as part of her package, I jumped at the chance. On the way to Mexico, we did the tourist thing in Hawaii. 2 nights in a flash hotel on the shore of Waikiki Beach, where we were surrounded by clusters of plumpish tourists escaping the northern winter. Many wore stylish summer holiday outfits, showing large areas of worryingly pink skin, the result of overexposure to the sunny North Pacific heat. Our next stop was Los Angeles on the west coast of the United States, and, roll of drums, Disneyland. As I'd been raised with the Mickey Mouse Club, and, as we were in the vicinity, a visit to Anaheim was a must. Wide-eyed and eager, we took the shuttle bus from the hotel for the half-hour ride to the sprawling Disneyland complex. After buying our tickets, we entered the world of Disney where reality as we knew it was suspended. We had a choice of rides and it was difficult to decide where to begin. Tomorrowland or Mickey's Toontown, Fantasyland or Frontierland, Critter Country or Adventureland. Between rides, we visited one of many restaurants scattered across the site, and watched enthralled, as those around us tucked into oversized portions of everything. As it was a warmish day in California, I entered into the spirit of Disneyland by ordering an ice cream sundae, a first for me. It arrived in a very tall milkshake glass, filled with numerous scoops of ice cream, doused with chunky strawberry sauce, topped with a mountain of fluffy whipped cream, and crowned with a cherry. I was immediately flooded with childhood memories of a threepenny scoop, smaller than a ping pong ball, pushed down hard onto a small wafer cone, or, for a special treat, 2 scoops one on top of the other, for sixpence. What a contrast! As we continued to explore the state-of-the-art amusement park, we noticed it was spotless. Staff in fancy dress wandered the spaces, many carrying a long-handled dustpan and broom to sweep up the smallest skerricks of litter almost before they hit the ground. We met many oversized Disney characters strolling around and interacting with visitors, particularly the children. Each character was dressed in a costume that was well designed and beautifully made. The next day we flew out to Mexico City, followed by a 4-hour bus ride to the charming colonial town of San Miguel de Allende. On arrival, we were greeted by the Instituto Allende staff and shown to our temporary on-campus accommodation, which was a stopgap measure until we could find a suitable rental. We arrived just in time for the start of the Instituto's spring quarter. Classes began immediately for us both, teaching for my mother and studying for me. Being a student once again was a shock to the system, but I was determined to give it a good crack. Here I would be working towards an undergraduate degree in fine art with a practical focus. When I left Australia, a degree of this kind was unobtainable, because a degree in fine art meant art history. To ease myself into this new setting, I selected 5 subjects. Silverwork. Fabric decoration. Soft leather. Mexican art modern. And an independent textile project. On campus I made friends quickly. My fellow students were mostly Americans, younger ones, as well as a number of veterans from both the Korean and Vietnam Wars. The veterans were funded by the American government's GI Bill. For all of us, the advantage of studying in Mexico was that the education dollar went so much further, as well as offering the adventurous the opportunity to live in a country that had, against the odds, retained its rich cultural heritage across the centuries. Of all the lecturers, our fabric decoration lecturer Judy Robertson was a standout. She lived in a sprawling colonial house wrapped around a central courtyard, with her textile studio off to one side, and the living spaces to the other. Some years earlier, she and her young son had moved from the United States to make their home in San Miguel. As well as teaching, Judy ran a very successful fashion business, producing exclusive, one-of-a-kind garments that sold like hotcakes. Little did I know when I first arrived in San Miguel that I'd come to live in this house for a time. But I'm getting ahead of myself. My mother was on the lookout for an apartment to rent that was within walking distance of the Instituto, and she found one on Calle Tenerías. It was a light-filled two-story apartment, with a large studio space, two bedrooms, a living room, kitchen and bathroom, and a glass-roofed internal courtyard. It was a perfect setup for two compulsive makers, so we moved in. Some 3 months into our stay, out of the blue, Judy Robertson asked if I'd partner her hotelier friend, Beto, to a posh mafia wedding in Mexico City. What? A mafia wedding? I accepted the invitation in an instant, and spent the next few weeks scrambling to design and make a suitable outfit for the occasion. I decided on a milk chocolate brown long-sleeve dolman top, with a peplum layer at the waist, and a full-gored skirt, worn with five long strands of cultured pearls. 4-inch brown high heels completed the outfit, bringing me up to a statuesque 185 centimeters tall. Perfect, as I'd already discovered that Mexicans love both tall women and cultured pearls. On the day of the wedding, we drove to a very fancy hotel in the Zona Rosa, the expensive part of the city, just off the Paseo de la Reforma. This wide majestic avenue was lined with towering buildings, and apartment blocks occupied by the wealthy Mexican elite. Beto decided to skip the church service, so after a quick visit to the hairdresser and a few drinks we drove out of town to the reception. The reception was held at a racehorse stud, where a series of interconnected white marquees had been set up for 500 guests. We were seated at a circular table set for 12, with a tall cascading arrangement of greenery and fresh flowers at the center. And the table setting was just the beginning, as the opulence just kept coming. We were served a five-course meal with matching wines whilst listening to the customary speeches, followed by live music, provided by not just one, but two bands, one at each end of the giant marquee. At some point during the evening, I recall visiting the bathroom, where an exquisitely dressed woman, dripping with Colombian emeralds, commented on my numerous strands of pearls. Other than that conversation, I don't remember much about the evening, as it was quite boozy. On our return to San Miguel, I saw Beto and his friends occasionally. They were all nice enough, but I was still recovering from my very own Greek tragedy that I'd left behind in Sydney. Whilst I was finding my feet, friendship was all I could handle, as I adjusted to my new life as a student, focused on the demands of full-time study. And I was super determined to give it my best shot. On reflection. Disneyland? I was introduced to the Mickey Mouse Club when television came to Sydney in 1956. I was hooked, and secretly dreamed of visiting Disneyland one day. So when it came time to investigate flights to Mexico City, I was delighted to discover we could stop off in Los Angeles on the way, making a day trip to Disneyland a possibility. It was well worth the effort, as our time at Disneyland was an over-the-top experience we'd never forget. Instituto Allende. I was pleased to be studying again, and thankful to be able to transfer most of my credits from the National Art School, thereby lessening the time it would take me to complete an undergraduate degree. I was excited at the prospect of exploring subjects that were not on offer at Australian tertiary institutions in the mid-1970s. And I was certain that additional study would extend both my graphics training and packaging design experience, bringing with it long-term career benefits. The Mafia Wedding. An invitation to accompany Judy's friend, Beto, to a mafia wedding in Mexico City, gave me the opportunity to rub shoulders with the wealthy elite of Central America. I also realized it was the only chance I'd ever have to peek into the lives of the mega-rich in Mexico. Back in Australia, I moved in far less influential circles. Facts. Disneyland. Walt Disney's theme park vision had its genesis when he visited Griffith Park in Los Angeles with his young daughters. Whilst watching them ride on the merry-go-round, he decided to build a place where families could take their children to have fun together. In 1955, Disneyland Park opened. It was the first of its kind, offering 35 hectares of rides, animatronics, beautiful walkways, whimsical characters, and catering. There was fun around every corner. The Instituto Allende is incorporated with the University of Guanajuato, founded in 1732. GI Bill. The Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, commonly known as the GI Bill, provided a range of benefits for some of the returning World War II veterans, commonly referred to as GIs. Even though the original GI Bill expired in 1956, the term is still used to refer to programs created to assist United States military veterans from Korea, Vietnam, and subsequent wars. Benefits included low-cost mortgages, low-interest loans to start a business or a farm, a year of unemployment compensation, and dedicated payments for tuition and living expenses to attend high school, vocational school, or college, like the Instituto Allende. San Miguel de Allende is a picturesque Spanish colonial town located in the state of Guanajuato, 274 kilometers north-northwest of Mexico City, at an altitude of 1,900 meters. The area has a temperate climate with annual rainfall of 545 millimeters. The town was founded in 1542 by Juan de San Miguel, a Franciscan monk and benefactor of the local Otomi Indians of the Chichimeca Nation. The name Allende was added in 1826 to honor a native son, Ignacio Allende, who was a hero of the 1810 revolution against Spain. San Miguel de Allende was the first Spanish settlement in the state of Guanajuato, and the first Mexican town to gain its independence from Spain in 1821. When we arrived in 1974, the town's population was 21,000 people. By 2024, it had grown to 75,000, 10% of whom were expatriates.